Long before the problem ever existed, God created the solution. And today, I want to present that solution to us. You're looking for that ideal governor, that ideal president, that ideal legislator, looking for that ideal chairman somewhere. I present to you God's own solution to all of mankind's problems. Man's greatest problem is sin, rebellion against God. Beyond that, sin is a nature, the nature of the devil. There is no political system that can cure sin. There is no economic system, however sound, man-made, that can cure the problem of sin. Man has not been able to invent the chemical in any laboratory that can wash away sin from the human heart. In John chapter 1, the apostle John, whose own emphasis through his book was on the deity of Christ, said from verse 1, John chapter 1 from verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So the solution is not something, it's not a system, it's a person. He is a person, not a human being. The product of a biological connection between a man and a woman. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And this brings us, one, to the fact that Jesus Christ is the solution to human problems. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God was to create man, he said, "And now, let us make man." Let us. Jesus Christ existed a long time before he was conceived in Mary's womb. And with that, I want us to establish the fact that Jesus was not just a good man. He was not just one of the prophets. He is God. He is not one of the good leaders that showed up somewhere along the line in the course of human history. He is the reason for everything. He is the center, the pivot on which everything hangs. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In Genesis chapter 3, man sinned, lost his position. And God stepped in there at the Garden of Eden, as it is stated there, spoke to the man, spoke to the woman, and then spoke to the devil. Genesis 3:15, he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, you will bruise his heel." And there Almighty God was speaking about Christ. Now that sin has been introduced into the human system, we already prepared a solution. And God prophesied about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, right there, just after man sinned. He's been there all the while. In fact, the issue of his death and resurrection was concluded ever before Adam and Eve were created. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and I'd like for us to read it. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. I love the way Jesus is referred to here. It says, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain since when?" You know, we say Jesus was slain about 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000 years ago. I'm sorry. He died a long time before that. Anyway, you know, it's just a figure of speech, really. The Bible says here that he is the lamb that was slain from what? The foundation of the world. Jesus is not just another political leader. Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That was John's claim. In John chapter 8, Jesus had this discussion with the Jews. If you read the whole chapter, he was trying to get the Jews to understand why sin was their habit. He was trying to get them to understand that it was because the devil was their father. That if their father was the same as his father, they would have the capacity to behave the way he did. And that led them to the point where he made this statement in verse 56 of John chapter 8. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, if you were around them, what would you have thought? A young 30-something-year-old man, Abraham lived thousands of years before. He was telling them that Abraham was happy to see his day, and he was glad. Verse 57. Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" His response was more confounding. Verse 58. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Hallelujah. He didn't say, "I was, I am." Only one person had laid claim to that title ever. Exodus chapter 3. God told Moses to go to Israel, lead them out of Egypt. And Moses said to the Lord, "If they ask me who sent you, what should I tell them?" He said, "Tell them, I am. That I am." It was God who laid claim to that title, and here was Jesus in the New Testament laying claim to the same title. I am. Amen. In other words, I existed before this existence. You see me in a physical body, but I am a whole lot more than this. There's a reason why I came. I came to help you. But we'll discuss that a little bit more later. I'm just trying to establish one fact. One, that Jesus has existed from everlasting. He existed a long time before the earth was created. He was part of the process of the creation of the earth. He is the solution that God had provided, knowing that he was going to create man in his own image and give him the power of choice. He is the solution that God had designed for mankind's problems. Good. We must appreciate this one fact, that he is God. In Psalm 110, verse 1, the psalmist prophesying, that's David the king, prophesying what he saw about the future, said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Jesus quoted that passage in Mark chapter 12. The Pharisees were asking him questions. And then he turned around and began to ask them questions too. So he fired them this one. And there was no answer to it. He said, "You said that the Messiah is the son of David." They said, "Yes." He said, "Good. If he is the son of David, why then did David refer to him as Lord?" "Because David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Everybody kept quiet. If he is a descendant of David and is a son of David, why did David refer to him as Lord? The Pharisees shut up. The scribes shut up. But the Bible says there in Mark 12 verse 36 that the common people heard him with great delight. They were excited.
For once, they found the answer to their oppressors. The more we try to find the ideal leader, the more we find the ideal oppressor. There's no solution in the places where we are searching. In John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman by the well of Samaria. Told her to go call her husband. She admitted she didn't have any husband, and he said to her, "You are saying the truth. You've been married 5 times, woman. 5 times. Marriage failed you. The man you are living with now, you've decided not to marry. You're just living in. You've been searching for the answer in marriage. You thought your happiness, your joy, your fulfillment was in getting married." She said, "Whoa, you must be a prophet. Okay, now that I know you're a prophet, our fathers say that the Messiah is coming." Said, "I'm the one." "Our own father said we should worship here. Your fathers, the Jews, say we should worship in Jerusalem. Where should we worship?" He said, "The time is coming when it's neither the real issue won't be where you worship. It'll be neither in this mountain or that mountain. God is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in woman. You need a relationship with God. The void that you are trying to fill in your life, nobody will ever be able to fill it. Only God can occupy that space." And you see, this is also true for every aspect of our lives. Who has the key? Who has the solution to our health problems? Who has the solution to our economic and political problems that we have today? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the angel said that Jesus' name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a shame that today the world will not acknowledge God, yet we want to live in a good world. We want to live in a beautiful world. The world that God himself created, and he only has the original manual for the way it can operate in the wrong way. Today we have a crisis, and people ask, if it's true that God exists, why does he allow